Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Oh yeah, he's back. The crack of the bat, the ping of the crossbar, and the roar of the crowd. We cover everything you want to talk about. It's the Rod Peterson Show.
Good morning, Canada. Canadian sports fans around the world, welcome inside the bunker to the Rod Peterson Show for episode number 104 on this Tuesday, October the 29th. We're coming to you from snowy Western Canada, but it's nice out there. It's like a Christmas card.
It is.
Isn't it nice?
What was I doing for the last 2 hours that I couldn't have fixed this mic before the show?
I think it's fine.
It's like we had a party last night.
Another party in the bunker last night, which we'll get to. Our ticket party. Thank you to Uniglobe Travel and Legacy Catering. We'll get to that here in the rollout for Flooring Superstore. By the way, I'm Rod Peterson. He's Darren DuPont. So if I'm like Steph, he's like Clay. And together, that's the Splash Brothers. Oh, I just heard.
Oh.
There they are.
There we go.
Thank you, Clark. Thank you, Clay. You've got so many things going over there.
Clay's out for the year, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but those still the Splash Brothers.
Yeah, I'm not.
They'll be around forever.
Absolutely.
Really big show today for you CFL fans. There's going to be a lot of CFL talk. We've got my favorite all-time Rough Rider checking in from Calgary, Alberta today, Jeff Fairholme. Man, I love that guy. And he's coming on from Cowtown to talk about the Riders rolling into the playoffs, member of the 1989 Grey Cup champion Rough Riders. And for the longest time, he was the third leading receiver in Rider history. He's kind of been surpassed by a few guys, but still a great. Also, Marshall Hamilton coming on today. Dave Soupy Campbell from the Edmonton Eskimos broadcast crew, because there's a lot of questions going on up there with the Eskimos as they get ready for the playoffs. AJ Jakubik, the voice of the Ottawa Redblacks. Oh, what a horrendous season for them, and I want to get AJ's take. Aaron John Jakubik. And our director of scouting, Craig Smith, will drop by the bunker, too. What are you laughing about over there? It's kind of distracting, you know.
Look at Nelson's comment. And I got to go to 3downnation.com and find out if this is real.
What are they saying?
If they did this. But he's asking if the power rankings are disrespectful, ranking Western University and Laval ahead of the Ottawa Redblacks.
So, that's funny.
It is funny.
I have not. I'll give you that one.
Thanks, Nelson.
Episode number 4. I've only written down 3 names, and I'll take some help here with regards to legendary number 4s, since this is episode 104. Bobby Orr, obviously.
One and only.
Could probably stop there, but I'm going to say Darian Durant and Kerry Joseph as well. And Brett Favre. Thank you.
You know what?
From the sponsors, coach.
I'd put
Thank
Brett Favre
you.
In that category. And I think.
Yeah, because I love Brett Favre.
For me, that's it. That's those.
Serious?
Those are the biggest ones. The biggest for me.
Kevin Lowe. That's for us Oiler fans.
Yeah.
There's got to be a Leaf. Clark, where are you? He's writing. Yeah. He says it's retired. Who is it?
By a legend.
Right.
Right.
Like I said today, a whole lot of football coming up on the program today. There was a lot of hockey yesterday because the Heritage Classic was, as the commissioner said, once in a lifetime. And maybe there will be more. But it's the first time in our lifetime, right? As Commissioner Bettman said. So you can forgive us for all the hockey talk yesterday, but I do have to say a hearty thank you. Another one to the NHL. I don't think the guys want to be named, but they gave us a gift for the bunker.
Yeah, it's outstanding. Massive, massive banner. Winnipeg Jets won the Heritage Classic, so they saved that one for us, the one that was on the side of the building. It's outstanding, and we just have space big enough
to fit it.
And it looks great.
It's a couple stories high.
Oh, yeah.
It's a Jets banner, and we have it in our Legends Hall, which we named in our morning meeting today. And Tyler, our sales manager, is here, too. He was part of that meeting.
Yeah.
Legends Hall. You'll have to come in sometime and check it out. Which, okay, I'm going to get to the sports headlines, because that's what people came here for. It is a sports talk show. A strong start led to 2 points for the Vancouver Canucks. JT Miller had a pair of goals, and the Canucks scored 5 times in the first period on their way to a decisive 7-2 win over the Florida Panthers. When are we going to start talking about the Canucks, by the way?
We should.
At what point?
7-3.
Yeah. Not today, no. But at some point.
Andrew Walker told us that they were probably the most improved team in the offseason. Did the most to improve their team, and it shows early on.
Kyle Lowry scored 26 points as the Raptors held on for a 104-95 win over the Orlando Magic at Scotiabank Arena last night. Steph Curry, one half of the Splash Brothers, had 26 points and 11 assists, and the Golden State Warriors won for the first time this season by beating the winless New Orleans Pelicans 134-123. Pittsburgh Steelers stopped beating themselves. Miami Dolphins winless. James Conner ran for 145 yards and a touchdown, and Mason Rudolph overcame a shaky start to throw for 251 yards and two scores as the Steelers pulled away for a 27-14 home victory on Monday Night Football. And I guess that would be a good place to start with our ticket party from last night and maybe show some photos here. We watched Monday Night Football in the bunker last night with up to 30 people coming in our Rod Peterson Show VIP sports trip to Houston. The place was full in here, Darren, and I want to give a huge shout-out to Legacy Catering for catering it. The ribs were fall-off-the-bone quality. Really got us ready for Houston, right?
Oh.
And barbecue in Texas.
Yes.
So I want to thank you for all your work in putting this trip together. Michelle at Uniglobe is watching right now. Legacy Catering, and maybe whatever you'd like to say about it, because this is more your baby more than mine.
Well, you can throw the pictures up anytime.
He's going to. He's working on them.
But yeah. It was unbelievable. Michelle from the beginning and Uniglobe, they came to us and said, you got a new show. You got to have a sports trip. We want to do it with you. Here's where we want to go, what we want to do. We bounced around some different places, different ideas, settled on Houston, which is outstanding. And then she had this great idea to do the ticket party. Well, we want to bring everybody together, meet everybody before the trip, hand out all their tickets. We've got gift bags for everybody. So take a look at this.
There you go. That's Bryce, the chef.
Yep. The food was outstanding. There is so much leftovers. He brought so much food.
More than I'd like leftovers.
So great. Yeah. Look at the swag bags that were sent out from the Houston Rockets and the Houston Texans. They're excited for us to come down there, so they sent us some
stuff.
Yeah,
that was from the teams.
From the teams. There's a look at the spread. Oh, those meatballs and ribs.
Bryce is one of the owners at Legacy Catering, too, by the way. I should mention that.
I'm a cheese guy, too. The cheese and the
little cheesy
charcuterie
yep.
there was outstanding. And there's just some of the people who showed up watching the game. We had it on multiple TVs up here in the studio. And
it was a big crowd.
Oh, it was awesome. Great stories. It's going to be awesome. And only a portion of the people actually made it. And so we're excited. It's going to be a
right.
big trip. Lots of people on it. And
some drove in from Yorkton. Some drove in from Estevan, like a long ways. And I'm like, guys, you didn't have to come in all for it. And they're like, well, we wanted to meet you, and we wanted to see the bunker. And so it was awesome.
Great.
I love that. And Legends Hall, by the way, we're adding things as we go. And Chris Clark chiming in from the Pats podcast, the unofficial Regina Pats podcast. He says, the banner looks great. I was trying to get just a flag, but no dice. I was willing to pay for it even. Well, then that makes me feel even more special that the NHL would just say, here, put this up in your bunker. Wow. I thought they were like throwing it into a dumpster, and they're like, hey, do you want this? It's kind of what I envisioned. Thank you, Clark. Hap Day and Red Kelly both wear number 4 for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and then nobody else.
Yeah.
So that's cool. I want to clarify a comment I made yesterday and in my column about the Riders being a team of destiny and how they feel that they are. And I said that 4 other teams feel the same way. I'm thinking the Riders are a team of destiny, too. I'm not taking anything away from what they've done. How could you?
Yeah.
They're 12-5. They could be 13-5. Probably will be 13-5. I'm just saying. When I laid down at bed last night, I was thinking of the song, Someone Could Lose a Heart Tonight. They're going to be a heartache tonight. There's going to be a heartache in November. Is it the Eagles? Yeah, sorry. I just knew the song. I'm just saying, look, we're all going to get swept up in this over the next, in the run. But that's what's going on in Hamilton, and that's what's going on in Montreal, and that's what's going on in Calgary. Well, among Stamps fans. And Winnipeg's back off the mats. There's a lot of teams that think they could be teams of destiny right now. That was all that I was saying. Go ahead and go and buy into it. You should. But they're not the only team of destiny. That's all that I'm just looking at it from a national point of view here. Another thing, officiating controversy in the NFL. I want your take on this, then I'll get Marshall's later because Marshall's joined the bunker. He's sitting just offset. I was watching ESPN this morning, and did you see in the Titans game? Did you watch the Titans game?
A portion of it.
Oh, you couldn't because you were on the air.
I was working.
You were doing the Blades game.
Yeah.
But Bruce Arians went off, the Buccaneers coach, after the game. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
He said, refs have never been held accountable. They've never been held accountable, and they will never be held accountable. Not for the next 40 years with this new agreement, he said. That got the panel talking on ESPN's Get Up this morning, and they do similar to what we do. And it was a rollicking fight on the set. It was awesome. Marcus Spears was in there, Dan Orlovsky. And they're just saying they are like Luke and Abu, that officials should be held accountable. And they should be 100% accurate. And one of the panelists, I don't know who he was, but he had to be a former referee, was just like, they are held accountable. You just don't know it. Guys get demoted. Guys get fired. And you never hear about it. And the guys are like, then we should know. The players get fired. The coaches get fired. That's all over. And the ref said, once we get the pay that you guys get, we'll get the notoriety that you guys get. So my question to you, Darren, and will be later to Marshall, is should referees, when they are disciplined by their boss, be outed?
I don't think so.
For the public.
I don't think so. To me, it's inconsequential. It's insignificant. It doesn't mean anything to me if the referees are outed or not. But you're right. They get demoted. You only get playoff games. You earn them if you have a good season and you check all the boxes. And that's how you choose who gets the playoff games and who gets the Super Bowl. It's the officials who have the best seasons, typically, from what I understand. But it was said once, and I can't remember who said it. Might have been Michael Strahan on Fox. But it's stuck with me forever. You know, of the three teams on the field, the visitors, the home team, and the officiating team, it's the officials who every week make the fewest mistakes.
Oh, yeah.
Bar none. You talk about missed assignments, drop passes, interceptions, missed blocks, all penalties, all that kind of stuff. The officials always make the fewest mistakes in the football game, and it balances out. I know there was some calls in that, you know, Tennessee-Tampa game that, you know, went one way or the other. Yeah, okay, but there was calls the other way earlier in the year that bit the Titans. To me, it all balances out in the end. It all comes out in a wash. I know there are some big ones that have big impacts. I'm not a big guy who's still complaining about the Gretzky high stick because I was too young, right? That doesn't matter, and it's in the past. But some people will sit there and look at plays like that that really had an effect on hockey games and outcomes, but for the most part, it doesn't. We're just mad because it goes against
our team. And I know it's really, really hard to get over this stuff, and some people never get over it. But when you're a head coach like Bruce Arians or Dave Dickinson, and you're standing at the podium after the game ranting and raving about a call that you think screwed you and cost you the game, how many times have I cautioned people like that to just bite your tongue? Because it will come back in your favor down the line. I do believe in the football gods,
you
know.
That's totally it. The officials take numbers, too.
Oh, absolutely.
And they're managing a game. If a coach makes them look bad, or specifically, I think, hockey, a guy makes them look bad because he dove, they'll walk over to the bench and be like, look, he's not getting the next call. He's not. Even if it's for real, he's not getting it because he made me look bad. I missed one here.
Absolutely.
Not happening.
On to the next point.
And it's playoff time.
Or not.
You don't want that bad karma in your pocket.
No, I got you going.
Yeah.
Well, this could be a theme through the whole show. We could spend 2 hours every day on officiating. I just don't want to because I'm over it.
Okay.
But not everybody is. I'm not saying that to you.
No,
that's a favorite pastime of people in sports. Fans too. Media, players and coaches bitching about the refs. I'm over it. To the daily poll question. And again, our morning meetings. You should have a camera on that.
Yeah, one day.
It's very entertaining. Clark and I couldn't decide over what poll question to go with. They both related to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Ty over there, our sales guy, said that we gained how many new followers from Winnipeg yesterday?
Lots.
That's a good number.
Thank you. That's what it said in the yearbook, Jim. Tuesday's poll for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center. Who should be the Bombers' starting quarterback in the CFL playoffs? And we got a lot of votes on it. On Facebook, 92.6% of respondents are saying Zach Collaros. And that's obviously not just Winnipeggers or Bomber fans. That's national, but 92.6% say Collaros. 7.4% say Streveler the Leveler. And on Twitter, it's similar. Zach Collaros, 88%. 12% for Chris Streveler. Did you say we need another nickname for Chris Streveler? Do you want to throw that out?
We do. We need another nickname.
Not Streveler the Leveler anymore.
Not Streveler the Leveler. It's got to be, and it does. This doesn't rhyme, but I mean, you guys in the comments section, this is your challenge for the day. We need a nickname for Streveler, just for fun.
I said Streveler the Band-Aid.
Something about Streveler the Bench Warmer, Streveler, something like that along those lines, the backup. Something that can rhyme and is catchy. He needs a new nickname by the end of the show.
Okay. I'm going with Streveler the Band-Aid, which probably isn't fair. Clearly is tough. There's no doubt. But maybe there's something better than that.
Yeah.
It was Rod Black that went with Streveler the Leveler.
Okay.
from Clark. Streveler the Running Back?
It's got a rhyme.
The other question we were going to put up as a poll, by the way, was should Andrew Harris be considered as most outstanding player for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers? Should he be removed from consideration? Because this is what they've been talking about all morning in Winnipeg. I saw Troy Westwood's tweet from TSN 1290. He said, just remove him from the ballot because he was positive PED and be done with it so we don't have to talk about it. And I would go along with that. I don't think he should be eligible. But maybe I'm wrong. That's happened a couple of times. So anyways, this has been the rollout for Flooring Superstore. Thank you, Trent Dickin and the crew, for sponsoring this opening segment of the program. When we come back, Ryder Hall of Famer Jeff Fairholm. This is the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our best clips on our YouTube channel.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital Ford Lincoln. We have over 800 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $19,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new vehicles and 1.9% on used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the Greatest Auto Sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's Greatest Auto Sale.
Hi, I'm Joshua John Batista. I'm a staff radiation oncologist at the Allen Blair Cancer Center. CT simulators are essential for all modern radiation treatments. Before a patient can undergo the treatment planning process, the CT simulator is the first step. So it allows us to plan and deliver radiation treatments for thousands of patients.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Hey, welcome back to the program, everybody, on this Tuesday morning, October 29th. I was remiss in putting this in my sports update yesterday. I'm going to put it in this morning. It was tight at halftime, but in the end, the Saskatoon Hilltops are once again the kings of the Prairie Football Conference. They knocked off the Edmonton Huskies 30-14 at SMF Field in Saskatoon. Ben Abrook and the Hilltops running game couldn't be stopped. 246 yards rushing in the win for the Hilltops from one guy. It's their sixth straight PFC title, and they'll face the OFC, Ontario Football Conference champion, London Beefeaters, with a berth in the Canadian Bowl on the line. And my question for you, Dupes, is six straight championships for the Hilltops just a little too much, a little too Bush League? Or is it just a nod to their excellence?
Well, both.
Okay.
Both.
I'm moving on. Sorry. It was a yes or
that's
no?
That's all you needed. Yep.
The NHL has suspended Jets forward Adam Lowry 2 games for boarding Calgary Flames defenseman Oliver Shillington in the Heritage Classic Saturday night. Frankly, I didn't think it was that bad. Lowry's is considered a repeat offender under the labor agreement and will lose about $71,000 U.S. in salary. It's your morning sports report for Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination. I said there would be a lot of football talk today, and we're bringing in, well, obviously, Marshall Hamilton's in the bunker. Hey, Marsh, how are you?
Awesome, thanks.
Good. Riders, Stamps, Ticats alum there. But we're going out on video chat this morning to Calgary, Alberta, the site of the 2019 Grey Cup, and Rider Hall of Famer Jeff Fairholm joining us. Look at this. Looks like he's ready to take off in the Millennium Falcon. How you doing, Fairway?
I'm good, Rod. How are you doing?
Good, sounding great. And for those that don't know, Fairway, Jeff Fairholm is my favorite all-time Saskatchewan Rough Rider. And Jeff, I got to say, you are my eyes and ears for the Riders game in Edmonton last Saturday, 27-24, because I missed it. I was following your Twitter feed. You didn't seem that impressed as the game went along.
No, I was impressed. I just the first half, they just seemed very flat, and they just weren't playing well. And, you know, I'm a little concerned about the defensive line. I don't think Hughes has had a sack or even been involved in the last three games or four games. So I'm a little concerned about that. But overall, it was a great team win, and they came back in the second half and showed what kind of champions they may be.
Are you sold on them as contenders? I mean, you watch every game. You were here for the 30-year reunion of the 89 Grey Cup. You've seen them up close. Do they have what it takes to win it all?
I think they do. I think they're a solid team. You know, it's this league, you know, there's only a couple of teams. Actually, it's better this year with parity as far as parity is concerned. You know, coming down to the last game of the season, you know, they have a great chance to be in first place. So why wouldn't they be contenders? I think they're right there. They have all the tools. And as long as Fajardo stays healthy, I think we're good.
Jeff, it's Darren DuPont. Thanks for coming on. What is it about this team and what is it about this fan base? Because you just said a little uninspired maybe in the opening half. We're happy that we're in first place, but we don't seem to be happy about the process or the way we're doing it. We're not inspiring a lot of confidence among the fans that we're winning dominantly enough. What is it about the fans? Are we just not that comfortable?
Maybe. I'm not sure. I'm not in Regina, so I don't, you know, I'm pretty happy with the way they're playing. I can't remember the last time they were in first place. My memory is not that great anymore. But
09.
Okay. So it's been a while. Maybe fans are getting too complacent. I don't know, but I think they're playing great. They have as good a shot as anybody, and you don't want to be blowing people out at the end of the year because, you know, you end up going into the playoffs sort of more cocky than you need to be. I think, you know, having close games at this time of year is good for that. Going back, whatever, 30 years, 35 years, it's to 89. You know, we got blown out by Edmonton in our final game, and, you know, we peaked at the right time. So I think it's good to have meaningful games at the end and have close games, and I think it's just preparing them for the future.
Jeff Marshall Hamilton here. Your reference back to 89 sort of tweaked that where I was going to go with my question. Most teams that win the Grey Cup have some adversity throughout the year that they learn from and grow from. And this team, other than losing Fajardo on the third play of the game, which is essentially, you know, that's almost like last year, I can't point to any adversity that they've faced. And I'm just wondering, do you as a championship team need to face that adversity? And if yes, what are your thoughts on whether they have learned those lessons yet at this, you know, the 18th game of the season?
I think adversity comes in many forms, and losing your quarterback in the third, you know, the first series of the season, I think is some serious adversity. I think that every single player goes through many kinds of adversity throughout an 18 game season. So, you know, it may not be evident to everybody watching the games that there's adversity, but I guarantee you that over, you know, a long stretch of time and certainly over 18 games, there is adversity that they're all dealing with, you know, injuries being one, but, you know, you don't know what's going on inside the locker room or what the coaches are saying and what's shown on the film. So there is adversity. And to answer your question, yes, I think you do need the adversity. I mean, if it's a cakewalk and you get that self-assurance, which isn't good come the playoff time. And, you know, the one thing that happens in the playoffs that doesn't happen in the regular season is the speed of the game increases dramatically. So it's going to be interesting to see how some of the younger players adjust to that. And I think that, you know, the game against Edmonton, I think, was some adversity. They came back after that, you know, lackluster first half and showed that they can turn it around. So, you know, they're going to have to start all of the games strong and, you know, don't take this next one for granted. I think they need to go in on a winning streak and get that first place.
One last question. What are your thoughts on the bye? If you're a player, do you want that bye and play in the Western Final, or do you want to play in the semi?
you're beat up by the time you've played 18 games. And, you know, I think the bye is great to have, you know, fix your body up a little bit and get prepared, and allows the coaches an extra week to prepare. So, you know, they've got a great coaching staff, and you give them an extra week to prepare for whoever they might play in the Western Final. I think it's huge. There's a lot of people that say that, you know, you're short, but, you know, what happens during the year is they all get a bye throughout the year. I don't know what their record is off byes, but
undefeated.
I think they need it. Well, there you go. So yeah. I proved my point. So I think it's important to get your bodies right.
I think we all get a lot of questions for you, Jeff, but, and on the adversity thing, I'm with you, Marshall. It doesn't appear like they've had a lot, but I guarantee you O'Day and Dickinson will manufacture somewhere. There's some that we haven't seen, right? The other thing, Jeff, is you're in Calgary. I mentioned is the site of the 2019 Grey Cup. What's the buzz, if any, on the game, and what's the take on the Stamps as they roll and obviously don't want to give up their locker room for the big game?
There's a lot of buzz. I think everyone in Calgary is really excited about it. It's a bigger city than Regina, but it's also a CFL city. So with the Flames sort of playing 500, I think it helps the CFL. But Calgary is a small enough city that they get behind the CFL. And there's quite a bit of buzz. I think everyone's looking forward to it. I won't be there, unfortunately. I'm going to be on vacation. But it's going to be, I think it's going to be a great show. And Calgary always puts on a great show, whether it's in Calgary or not. So the horses will be running wild.
Do you want to make a prediction this morning on who might be in the game, Jeff? We won't hold you to it.
It's tough. I think Hamilton's going to get there from the East. I think that they're going to beat Montreal in the final, in the Western or Eastern final. And then, you know, I think whoever gets first place in the West, I think is going to be in the Grey Cup. And then, so let's say it's Saskatchewan against Hamilton. I'd love to see that. And, you know, I think Saskatchewan has every chance to win it.
A rematch of 89 and 2013, then, is what you're saying.
And two second string quarterbacks.
Sure. And by the way, we had Poli in here last week. A lot of the 89 guys we have had on the program, Narco last week.
How's Narco doing?
He's really, really well. As a matter, like, yeah, really well. And we're going to Houston in a couple of weeks on a sports trip. We're doing this show from Houston, and Narco's going to come on with us. So thanks for asking, and he is doing great.
That's good.
How he didn't make it back for the reunion, but you did. How was it there August?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. There weren't as many guys as we had hoped. I think we had 16 plus some staff, you know. Great. It's great to see the whole, you know, a lot of the guys together and girls. I mean, Jill McDougall was there, of course. So it's always fun to get together. You know, it's funny what I found about that was we didn't talk about anything during any of the games. All we talked about were the antics off the field. And that's what we all laugh about. And of course, Poli's, I think, one of the best storytellers in the world. So, you know, we had a ball. We had some great dinners. Got a chance to reintroduce ourselves to family and friends and play some golf and watch a great game. So everything was fun. We had a great, great, great time.
Our producer Clark has one last one for you. He says, who was the best athlete? No, he wants to know who's the best athlete now. Is that you want to know, Clark, of the 89 team? It's got to be you, Jeff. Who's the most athletic today of that team? Suter would say him.
Brescietti was pretty good.
Bresch is unbelievable. You know, we had an alumni game on Labor Day weekend, and he won it by himself.
Every one of them is going to say me.
They're
all going to say themselves.
Speaking of,
I'm not going to say that. You know who actually was in the best shape of anybody? It was actually Mark Arness.
Wow,
he looked fantastic. I haven't seen him in years, and he's doing super well in business. And his body looks fantastic. He's mountain biking all the time, and you know, he's. I think he was probably in the best shape of anybody.
Well, he's probably got the best life. Doesn't he own 800 Verizon stores and he lives in Phoenix? I mean, not a bad life, right?
Yeah, I think he has a house in Scottsdale or something. But yeah, he's got like 800 Verizon stores. So I'm so proud that, you know, it's great to see how everyone's turned out. And, you know, football is such a small part of our lives that, you know, I played for 9 years and, you know, I'm 50, almost 54 now. So, you know, it's a small part of our lives, and it's always good to see how everyone's turned out and everyone's successful, and it's great to see.
Well, you for sure included in that group. And Jeff, they always say don't meet your heroes, but you'll be disappointed. You never did. So thanks for all you do for us. And let's keep in touch, my man. I appreciate the time.
You bet. Anytime, Rod. Always have time for you guys.
Thank you. Jeff Fairholm checking in from Calgary. And I will say this, because I do a lot of consulting with teams, and they say, how do we bridge with the fans? How do we make connection with the fans? And I say, take your players to schools, take your players to hospitals, because in 1988, Jeff Fairholm came into our grade 10, Mrs. Rolfsma's class. I wasn't even really a Rider fan. I was a hockey and baseball fan. And I'm sitting in the room, and he's talking about the Riders, and I'm like, he's cool. I'm going to cheer for these guys. Mm-hmm. And from then on, it was every week up and down with the team and reading the newspaper stories and going to games. And every dollar I had, I spent on the team just because he came to my school. And the problem is now the team say, but the players don't want to do that. It's different now, Ron. Well, what do you want? Like, yeah. This is, you asked.
Yeah.
It's making a connection with the fans. And they say that era's gone. It doesn't have to be. There are some leagues that are doing it. Pro leagues.
Yes, I'm with you 1,000% on that. All these things, I mean, we're going a different way.
It's fun. Yeah.
And that's cool. And that's important because we're going in ways that are more effective most cases. But that just means if nobody's going to schools anymore, there's so much more impact when you do.
When you do.
Because it's rare. So you'll have even greater impact.
I see the wheels are spinning, Marshall.
Well, I was just thinking, I mean, how do companies get people to do things that they don't want to do? Well, things like overtime, they pay overtime pay. Things like night shifts, they pay shift differential, et cetera. There are ways to get players to do things that they may not necessarily want to do. Now, I don't know if this is a salary cap issue, but if you pay the players to go, they'll go. They may be going for the wrong reason, but they still might achieve the same outcome by connecting with those fans. And once they're there, they're going to go, hey, this is pretty cool. These guys, you know, just want to visit with us. They just want to sign autographs, whatever it is. You know, if I would want to think that most players would be willing to go for free. But if you have to pay them a little bit, they'll go.
Well, yeah.
There's a payback for the team, because what you're doing, and you alluded to it just a minute ago, you're generating the new fans and the fans of the future. So it's good for the team, even if you got to pay the guys.
Right. And to go just a little further on that, if Jeff Fairholm had been paid to come to Milestone, Saskatchewan, I don't care. Good. I would hope that, because all our time's worth something.
You wouldn't even have known.
Wouldn't have known, and I wouldn't care. And I also know enough to know, after being around the players my whole life, that it's just a roadblock to say the players don't want to do it anymore, because some probably don't, but I'll guarantee you some do, right? Yeah. And I've said it many times, Brian Peters, who was on the 2013 Grey Cup champion Riders, would regularly go into the community relations office, which was Dan Plaster and Andrew Craig, and say, where can I go today? What can I do? I got a lot of time on my hands. So there are still guys like that.
Yeah.
That's all. So anyways, we'll break and we'll get to more of your comments on the fan. Well, there are several. Some people have got nicknames for Chris Streveler. I like them. I think we have a winner already, and it didn't take long. It's the Rod Peterson Show on this Tuesday morning, October the 29th, episode number 104. You're watching on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio.
Just because you're out in the country, surrounded by fields of green, living sky sunrises and sunsets, shouldn't limit you from connecting to the world. Fast, reliable, and affordable internet for rural Saskatchewan. SaskTel Fusion from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Invite the whole world in. Sign up for SaskTel Fusion today for just $99.99, including basic install. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. proud sponsor of The Rod Peterson Show.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing The Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody, to the program on this Tuesday morning. So now, getting into it. Thanks again to Jeff Farholm for coming on. I never get tired of talking to that guy. Hey, quiet on the set! Our technical producers are, but he laughed at that one. Didn't have his phone turned down. In and out of here. It's a revolving door, eh, Dupes?
Oh, yeah.
This morning, we
love
try
it.
To keep our attention on what we're doing.
We have an open door policy around
here. Okay, absolutely we do. We have a text contest. Thank you, Clark, for coming up with this. Text the Prairie Mobile text line now with Cora, please. And we will pick someone to win a $25 Cora breakfast gift card. The number is 306-840-8777. And I love me some Cora.
Great breakfast.
That's my favorite thing.
Great breakfast in the city.
Outstanding. So, Cora, please. That's what you need to text, 840-8777. So, Marshall Hamilton, thank you for joining us, and sorry it took so long to get to you and your thoughts. How are you?
Awesome.
Good. Are the Riders a contender? Are they for real?
I think I said last week that they were in the top three, and I still feel they're in the top three. They might even be in the top two if they get home field advantage against Calgary in the Western Final. I still think Calgary is going to come down to Calgary-Saskatchewan, whether it's in that order or not, in the West, and it's going to come down to Hamilton and Hamilton in the East. I mean, Hamilton, in my opinion, is the favorite in the entire Canadian Football League. I said this at the end of the Jeff Fairholm interview, if it does turn out to be Saskatchewan against Hamilton in the Grey Cup, it is two second-string quarterbacks. And I don't mean that to be slightful of either player, but those are not the quarterbacks that started the season. Those are not the quarterbacks that were starting for their respective teams on the first game of the year between those two teams. It was Jeremiah Masoli and Zach Collaros. So both of those teams have kind of risen from the adversity of in the case of Saskatchewan, game one where they lost Collaros, and it was probably about game five or six when they lost Masoli. But you couldn't go far wrong. I mean, I think Brandon Banks is going to be the MVP coming out of, or the MLP coming out of the East, but you couldn't go wrong by picking those two quarterbacks, Cody Fajardo from the West and Dane Evans from the East, as the two competing MLP candidates from their respective. So I think it's going to boil down to either Calgary or Saskatchewan in the West and Hamilton in the East.
It's funny, I read an article today. Actually, I posted it to our website, rodpeterson.com, saying that Brandon Banks has ended any conversation about who should be MLP in the league this year. And you didn't even mention him. And I'm with you that it should be those guys. I know Banks has been great, but would there be a Brandon Banks without Dane Evans? I don't think so. I understand it's a team game.
And if I
see where I'm going with that?
And if I was to pick a coordinator of the year, it would be Tommy Condell, who's helped make Banks what Banks is, who's helped make Dane Evans what he is. Tommy Condell, I've used this metaphor before. Watching that Hamilton Tiger Cat offense, it's a lot like the Kansas City offense down in the NFL, where you've got these three cups and there's a ball under one of these three cups and the magician is going like this and you got to try to figure out which cup is the ball under. That's the way they are. I mean, as a defensive back or as a linebacker, and you're watching the ball get snapped and then you're just watching all these people go in different directions and the ball is flipping and flopping and faking and you don't know where that ball is. And as a defender, that gives them at least a one-step advantage over you who is trying to cover them or tackle them. So Tommy Condell, as the offensive coordinator in Hamilton, deserves sort of the coordinator of the year. There isn't a trophy for that. But Brandon Banks should win it. Brandon Banks will probably win it for the league. But Dane Evans is certainly a 1A, 1B in Hamilton, and Cody Fajardo deserves to be. And I don't say this because I'm a Ryder fan. I say this because you look at who has had the biggest influence on their team in 2019 in the Western Conference, and I don't know how you can pick anybody other than Cody Fajardo.
Steven Sawchuk is watching from Winnipeg this morning and says, don't count out the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And I'm with you. And it's funny because I put Mike O'Shea in the Coach of the Year conversation in my weekend column, 10 Things. And people are going, how do you have O'Shea in there? You guys were writing him off a couple weeks ago. Well, that's what we do. ESPN's got the Cleveland Browns written off. What are they, 2-5? Mm-hmm. And this morning I'm watching ESPN and it says Kitchens over his head. They win this week. It'll be Kitchens, Coach of the Year candidate. That's what we do. So you guys worry about your thing. We'll do what we do. Winnipeg is back in the conversation and it's all because of Zach Caleros. And by the way, the poll results last I saw, 80 to 90% of our respondents on the Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center poll say Zach Caleros should start in the playoffs for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And if he does, gents, they are a weapon. And that could say, move aside, Cody Fajardo. This is the story of the year.
Mm-hmm.
If Zach Caleros...
It is a fantastic story. Yeah. And even though he doesn't play for the Riders anymore, what a feel-good story that was. I mean, I just loved watching that football game. And I loved watching the outcome because it favored Saskatchewan or Saskatchewan's chances to finish first. But to see Cody come in, or not Cody, to see Zach Caleros come in, play as well as he did, and in particular to take two really solid hits and bounce right up after those hits, that made me feel good because I'm not the only one for sure, but there's a lot of us that were really concerned that was going to take one more hit and then his career is over and maybe more than that. So I'm really pleased to see how well he played, really pleased to see that he bounced up from those two hits. And yeah, they're a contender. I mean, I didn't mention them in my list, but you know, I could list all of the eight teams or six teams that are going to be in the playoffs because Montreal is a good football team as well. Edmonton, I don't think, has got a chance. But with Caleros, if Caleros can continue to bounce back as he has, that's a really good football team. I don't know about – I wouldn't vote for O'Shea for Coach of the Year.
Not yet, but if they win the Grey Cup, you might.
No, I wouldn't.
You've been the Bombers' biggest fan the last 2 years. Don't stop now.
No. Yeah, but you're mixing topics.
Well, no.
I thought the Bombers were the best team on day one. I thought they were the best team sort of week four, week five. But they started to unravel. I think I said this on last week's program. They started to unravel about midway through the season. It was a combination of, in no particular order, the loss of Nichols at quarterback, the steroid scandal, so to speak, for Trevor Harris, some of the decisions that were being made by the coaching staff, in particular Mike O'Shea. I'm a Mike O'Shea fan, but this year has not been a good year for Mike O'Shea. It's been one of those really seesaw years for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, but the season's not over yet.
No, I know, and I agree with you. I mean, I have had, honestly, a lot of faith in Mike O'Shea, but this is what I don't understand the last couple of weeks. You're in Calgary with a chance to win a game, Winnipeg, and you've got Calero sitting there, Streveler's hurt, and you put in McGuire, not Zach, and then you have McGuire only in for one series, then you put Streveler back in?
Well, that's an example.
What do you got? But that's bad coaching, sorry.
Exactly. That's an example of the kind of things that I say that takes him out of my category.
Plus, fair.
How do you pick Mike O'Shea over Orlando Steinauer, who's had a fantastic year of coaching, over Craig Dickinson, who's had a fantastic year of coaching, and probably who I think should be one of the favorites, although I don't think he'll win, but Kahari Jones in Montreal that took a train wreck, a dumpster fire, and turned them into a playoff contender and a team that could, on any given day, beat any one of those other teams. Those are my top three candidates for Coach of the Year.
Steinauer, Jones, Dickinson. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
When you said Jones, I had a bit of a shiver.
You had to think about it,
right?
Yeah.
I know.
Oh,
well,
which, by the
because
way...
Because of our bet earlier this year, you said that...
Yeah.
That
Jones will be an NFL head coach at some point.
In 7 years, I think you qualified.
Didn't I say for the rest of his life?
Well, I know
I thought it was open-ended, but...
So did I.
But that's a dangerous thing to get into because I was talking with the lawyer last night. We were talking about
why were you talking to our lawyer?
We were talking about payments and paying people back and things. And he's like, one of the terms, you know, at a later date. He's like, that's dangerous. Don't put that in the clause because 7 years from now, okay, I need that money back. Well, you said at a later date. There's always a later date. So that open-endedness, I mean, he could be 90 years old. There's still a chance.
He was going to advise us against betting on air.
Nope. Not at all.
No.
Maybe we erred. Maybe we should have had two polls going today because the sports doctor has written in and says Rod Andrew Harris should be in the most outstanding player race. Last year's Super Bowl MVP was Julian Edelman, who served a four-game PED suspension earlier in the same season. What are you going like this
different,
for?
Completely different. I believe Andrew Harris could be the most outstanding player, the MVP of the Grey Cup, but not the MOP of the season. That's different. Because if you're playing in the game, you should be allowed to... of course, you can win the awards for playing in the game. But on the season, I think the integrity that Darren Bomling brought up yesterday in his voting, I think that's important.
Yeah, it's an apple and an orange. I agree with you.
The prompter here says, a note from Clark, Rod, can you give a shout-out to Tracy Karst? He watches every day. He's a P1. Which is a priority one viewer, and I saw Tracy writing in earlier and saying that he is watching with his dad, so good morning to Tracy and his dad. But I think, not like they're ever going to listen to us, but it would be a great poll question is, should he be eligible for most outstanding player? Sounds like he's going to be, because the ballots have already gone out, and this is usually the week they're announcing the most outstanding players.
Yeah, here's my answer. He should be eligible. But if I'm a voter... And
you just
I'm
don't
not,
vote for him, yeah.
I'm not going to vote for him because I want to send a message. I know I'm not a voter, but if there's 100 voters, I want each of those 100 voters to send him a message that, yes, you had a great season, but it's tainted.
Yeah.
Agreed. And as a result, you're not going to be my selection.
Going through the phone, I love doing that. People are texting where they're watching and listening from. And we got Medicine Hat, Toronto, Vancouver, Denver, Colorado, which might be hard to take advantage of your Cora gift card, but maybe. I don't know. I'll leave it up to Clark as to who's going to win this thing. Oh, and by the way, Norway, I got to get to this. Norway texting. This is Trent, of course.
Mm-hmm.
He says, Expos number 4, Delino DeShields. Because we are recognizing number 4s today. Delino DeShields. How could I have forgotten Delino DeShields? Hope they win out tonight and tomorrow. Glad to see your show take off. Go Expos and Riders. Where's the rally cap? I dig this out of the tickle trunk. Get the rally cap on. There we go. Expos got a win tonight down in Houston. Where did it go? Here, from Leonard. An actual question. That last drive where Edmonton scored a touchdown, that ball was a fumble turnover that the Riders did not challenge. The guys upstairs should do a much better job to let the coach know when to throw the flag. I was already at the Heritage Classic by that time and not watching, and I was remiss in taping the game, so I didn't see much of the Rider game Saturday. Marshall, I'm going to defer to you as my eyes and ears. You know what he's talking about?
Yeah, there was a ball caught, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere in the 5 yard, within the 5 yard line, and it was late in the game, and even though I got a chance to watch the replay because I PVR'd the game and I'm going back and forth, I still wasn't convinced it was, you know, a catch versus not a catch, and I know because they showed him on the screen that you could see Craig Dickinson standing on the sidelines right beside one of the referees. I don't know if he physically had his hand on the flag, but he was thinking, do I throw it? Do I throw it? Do I throw it? Do I throw it? And then he kind of, and I don't know who was speaking in his ear, but he just decided against it, or he ran out of time. I don't think it would be right of me to be critical of Craig Dickinson for not throwing the flag. That's like playing Monday morning quarterback. At the time, it was a key play, but you know, as it turned out, he might have lost a timeout, which might have affected that last drive that Cody Fajardo drove them down for the winning field goal. So, you know, was it a factor in the game? No. Could it have been a factor? Yes, but more so a negative against Edmonton as opposed to a positive for the... Well, I guess the reverse of that's true, too. I didn't think it was a clear-cut call. So, and as we know from experience over the last couple of years in both the Canadian Football League and the NFL, if the call on the field is challenged, it's got to be, you know, conclusive that they were wrong before they're going to flip it. Otherwise, they're going to err on the side of, let's go with what the ref on the field called.
And
that they called a completion.
On the officiating vein, I'm going to ask you your thoughts on what I brought up with Dupes and the rollout earlier. But first, we were asking our viewers for a nickname for Chris Streveler. There's got to be something better than Streveler the Leveler, as nicknamed by Rod Black, which frankly, I don't mind.
When he's playing.
When he's playing, but now he's not. Somebody wrote in and said Chris Struggler.
That was a pretty good one.
Smitty liked
and the most, the latest one is Strubler the Flat Tire. I'm not sure that doesn't rhyme very good.
No, but you had one too.
Well, I told you mine was way too long, but all dressed up, but nowhere to throw.
That's good too.
Yeah, you're not fitting that.
Not on a jersey. No. Brady from Saskatoon writes in and says, "Hey Rod, it's Brady. Number four is." In honor of show number 104 today, Bobby Orr, Jean Béliveau, Vincent LeCavalier, Taylor Hall, Cameron Judge, Adam Big Hill, Brett Favre, Deshaun Watson, Michael Dixon, Dak Prescott, Nate Robinson, Chris Bosch. So there's some good ones.
Lots of good ones in there.
From Brian, we got breaking news. Breaking news. Trevor Harris will not be playing this weekend. He goes on to say, I will predict that at least Sewell or Ellingson won't be playing either. Go Riders. It's a win or they're in situation for the Riders here for first place. And it's like the Eskimos are just rolling out the red carpet for them to take this game on Saturday. Boy, is there something more serious than a trap game? Even more dangerous than a trap game? Because this would be it.
Yeah. You just think, you know, more things are lining up in your favor, and then you kind of come in already thinking about first place, and then you get smacked in the chin. But as we were, you know, Jeff Fairholm, and we talked about adversity, the Riders dealt with some of that early on in the football game this weekend. They got punched in the mouth early, they got down early, and they regrouped and they rallied back. And I think if you get into that trap game scenario and you're thinking too far ahead, you're going to end up down by a score or a couple of scores. And we've already seen this team show the ability to come back. So it doesn't worry me as much as maybe it should.
I don't usually pick blowouts, but I think this will be a blowout because I don't think this is going to be a trap game for the Riders. They just have so much incentive to win this football game, and they're going to be so, so excited to come and play a team that they just beat, albeit narrowly, in Edmonton. And, you know, whether they're playing with Trevor Harris and Amanda Sewell and Craig Ellingson or not, I don't care. I think that they will put the foot on the throat and chomp this thing down, and this thing will be over at halftime. And the Riders, you know, they don't really have an incentive to sit anybody because if they win this game, they get a bye. So they get a chance to sit anyway. So I think Craig Dickinson is coaching his guys saying, listen, this is our opportunity to put our foot on their throats, end this thing and go home with a first place victory and an opportunity to have a bye before we play the Western final in our stadium. So I think these guys are kind of going to come flying out of that tunnel more so than they ever have, and it's going to be over at halftime.
Usually they don't have post the odds this early. It's Tuesday only. But my prediction to you today will be that the Riders will be 12-point favorites for this game.
12.
And I know that's a whopping
total.
It's going
to be more than 7 for sure.
Yeah, I think 12 points. And speaking of this Saturday, we don't know yet about the tailgate party, right?
Right.
We may or may not be set up at the Canadian Armed Forces Royal Regina Rifles tailgate party, but I know that I will be there at the game, and then at halftime I'm going to North Battleford. The North Stars are ranked in they're the third in the country for Junior A hockey, and it's their ring ceremony, which I'm always excited about. They're handing out their championship rings from their championship season last year. They've invited me to come up and be a part of that and do an autograph signing and book signing at the Stars game this Saturday night. So we hope that anybody in that area can come. We're very big in North Battleford, as you know, Darren.
Huge.
And I got to tell you something about the SJ. For anybody out there, you better watch out. You better not cry. And you better not pout. But the SJ is coming. And as you know, we've had some sponsors say, you beef up your SJ coverage and we're all over you for sponsorship. Mm-hmm. You know that. Our sales guy's out meeting with them this morning right now. The SJHL is big news.
Oh, yeah.
And there's 11 teams in the province. The 12th is in Flin Flon. And we quite often get asked by sponsors, too, because you've been there.
Yeah.
They're like, do you go to SJHL markets? How often are you there? I'm like, every week? You got to turn them down in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
So the SJHL's coming, Matt. It's coming. Well, it's off the mat. And now it's charging, and that's Bill Chow and Trent's son, Logan Fraser.
Yeah.
And so thankful that they've included us all in that. That's super cool.
It is.
So North Battleford, we'll see you Saturday night. My point is I'm going to stay for the first half of the Rider game. Should be over by then, Marshall says.
According to my prediction.
And then I'll be hitting the Louis Riel Trail north to North Battleford. Next hour, our director of scouting, Craig Smith. Also, Dave Campbell, Edmonton Eskimos broadcaster, and Ottawa Red Blacks broadcaster, AJ Jakubik. It is a Tuesday morning, episode 104. You're watching on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcast at CastBox, Stitcher, and Spotify.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital GMC. We have over 1,000 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $17,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the greatest auto sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's greatest auto sale.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, Little Red's Market Cafe in Mortlock, Saskatchewan, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming at the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.